Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Srila Prabhupada Srilamruta summary session. And as part of the summary sessions, today we are going to hear the chapter 25 summary from Bhaktin Megha. So Megha is going to give the chapter 25. Hare Krishna, Megha, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much for giving your precious time and association this morning and taking up the chapter summary of 25. So I hand over the call to you. So before that, Megha, can you give a brief introduction about yourself?
Yeah, Mataji, thank you so much, Shyamasupriya Mataji. So I would like to take the opportunity to introduce our Megha Mataji. Thank you so much for the
Hare moment. Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai, Priti Dasi from Charlotte. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you all so much for joining. And it's my great fortune to be introducing a very wonderful soul to all of you. This is our dear Megha Mataji. Mataji was born in India and she was raised in the United States. She came here when she was 7 years old and now she works as a project manager in a global pharmaceutical company. She received her Bachelor of Science in Biological Sciences and MBA in Healthcare Management. She always had an inclination towards spirituality since she was young. Actually, she was raised in a Vaishnava family, not necessarily ISKCON. And her mother is our Yashomati Mataji, who's on call. When she was a child, she would ask all her Christian and Muslim friends about their religious stories. And she found out that everyone had the same story, but God was seen in different names. So she always loved psychology of people and wondered why many people acted the way they did or why they said the things that they said. And it took her many years to figure out these things. Finally, she got her answers through His Grace Amoghalila Prabhu's lectures about anger. So that was her favorite series. She would go back to his anger lectures and she would try to understand the psychology of different people and understand why they said certain things. Gradually, she got connected to the Naperville congregation near Chicago, and she's now aspiring from His Holiness, Radhanath Swami Maharaj, who always speaks about these little topics that are so important to all of us in our lives. The closest temple to her is the Naperville temple. She has some services there, and she also has many services in Bhakti Sangha Japa group, where she fills for introduction services when the person who's introducing us is taking a break. So usually it is our Megha Mataji who fills in. The closest temple is ISKCON Naperville, and she helps recruiting volunteers. She takes care of the database for managing volunteers. She leads the weekly Srimad Bhagavatam glorification and so on. And in Bhakti Sangha, not only does she fill in for introducing speakers and welcoming devotees, but she also always chants in the morning session. So that is her regular service. You would always find her on the call chanting early in the morning. She's also enrolled in Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vriksha classes. And this is, as far as Bhakti Sangha goes, what keeps her motivated. She says that it's Krishna's reciprocation from within and His arrangements in my life, the nature of material world He created, which is Dukkhale Mashashvatam, that keeps me motivated in Krishna consciousness and helps me join Bhakti Sangha very regularly. So that is our Megha Mataji, a very, very deep personality with you. So we have the great honor of listening from her about Srila Prabhupada Leelamrita. So she'll be covering chapter 25. Hare Krishna. Welcome, Mataji. You can take over the call.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Very great fortune that I actually was asked to serve Bhakti Sangha Japa group in this way. And thank you. I want to thank you so much sincerely from the bottom of my heart to Bhakti Sangha Japa group coordinators that has started this program. It is just so wonderful, and it gives me a medium to practice and, you know, chant in the morning, you know, in devotional service. It's amazing how all the volunteers in Bhakti Sangha, the Bhakti coordinators are amazing. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity.
We do have a problem hearing clearly, so it could be the, maybe the Bluetooth or something.
Yeah, I'm going to try to change the...
Hare Krishna, can you hear me okay now?
This is better.
Yes, this is better.
Better, okay, thank you. So yeah, I just was very grateful to Bhakti Sangha Japa Group coordinators, and I wanted to take this opportunity to thank everyone to give me this opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas on this call. So with that, we'll start with the invocation prayers. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yudhapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to start sharing my screen. Can you see the screen?
Yes, Mataji, we can see the screen.
Okay. Thank you for confirming. So we're going to do Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita today. It is the chapter 25. And it's, it is our Master Has Not Finished His Work. That is the title of this chapter. So this chapter, it starts off with Prabhupada flying from San Francisco to New York. So when he comes to New York, he had left the devotees in New York to go to San Francisco. And they weren't, you know, so they weren't following everything perfectly yet at that time. So when he came back, he actually saw that, you know, the situation of the temple and the devotees had actually improved at the storefront in the New York. So he acknowledged that to the devotees. And, you know, this is helping us understand that, you know, by following the Guru's Vani instructions while he was away, he understood this. He explained that by submissively following the spiritual master's, you know, spiritual master's instruction, the disciple obtains expertise in Krishna consciousness. And he always looked at the positives and made sure that he acknowledged the positives. So this is something that we also should learn. You know, a lot of times we always look at something, you know, positives are there, right? Everywhere there's positives and negatives, but the human nature and mind is such that we always want to look at the negatives. And that is what causes the distress in our minds a lot of times. So, you know, this is a learning lesson for us from Srila Prabhupada that, you know, we need to look at, you know, the positives and be tolerant and make sure that we acknowledge the positives. Because, you know, when we acknowledge the positives to someone, this also helps us remove our false ego, which is something that we really need to work on to progress and surrender truly to the Lord's, Lord's feet. And then next morning he saw, you know, he was as normal. He was doing his, you know, Mangala Arati and the chanting and kirtan. So he saw that devotees' attendance was actually down and even their enthusiasm was low. So when he chanted, you know, and he was doing kirtan, he asked, you know, for the chorus, the devotees were singing. And that time he realized that they were so down and no enthusiasm. So he looked at them. He just gave them a look. And he looked at them, you know, startled and with compassion. He didn't look like saying like, what, you know, like in a mean way. He was actually having the compassion saying, oh, you know, what happened? You need to be more enthusiastic. And they had become weak, I said, like the helpless souls croaking without joy. And then in that, he gave like an example where he was lecturing from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And, you know, this was, you know, he said that he saw this example was in the Chaitanya Charitamrita lecture. He said that when he flew from San Francisco to New York, he saw that the plane was flying above the ocean of clouds. And this ocean of clouds is compared to Maya. But when he landed in New York, the weather was cloudy and dim. So he realized, you know, he said, he gave this example that above the clouds, there was the sun, but it could not be seen. But you know, these clouds are not able to cover the whole world. They're not able to cover the, you know, whole U.S. So we need to understand that, you know, when our consciousness is low, it is covered by Maya. We need to go above the clouds to see the sun because, you know, that love for Krishna and, the higher consciousness is there. It's just covered by these clouds of Maya. So that's the point he was trying to make. And, you know, it's another example of the same thing. So skyscrapers, when we look from top, from the actual airplane, you know, we see the skyscrapers down there, but they look so small. But, you know, the same thing when we are walking next to the skyscraper, they look so big. So it's, you know, comparing to that God's position, is so high, so much higher than this material nonsense. And you know, it is insignificant that the material Maya. So the living entities are very insignificant and they have this tendency to come down. But the sun, he never comes down of the cloud or anything, right? The Maya cannot cover the sun. So same thing, you know, the God's you know, he cannot be covered by this. So when we have the consciousness that is, you know, serving the Lord, then we can remove this clouds of Maya. So one of the boys had asked one person, you know, why does one person come to Krishna and the other one doesn't? So Prabhupada gave a good answer to this. It is because of our free will. Because if we use the free will properly, then we can go to Krishna. But if we don't, then we'll stay down in this material world forever. And this is obviously, you know, we hear a lot of people thinking, you know, saying that, how come, you know, I want to try to go to Krishna, but I don't have any, you know, push or enthusiasm for it. So what to do? So it is about, you know, we need to make sure that trust, have faith that this is the right path. And then we have to be enthusiastic. We have to make ourselves divert our attentions from Maya to Krishna in order to really start developing the taste. Because until we don't have the taste in something higher, we're always going to find something, you know, better in the lower taste. So that's why we need, and that, you know, the higher taste will help us go to Krishna. So this is, this was Prabhupada's interactions with the disciples there. So I thought this was a good example. One of the disciples, Yadurani, had asked, how is the Lord situated within the heart? Is he standing? Is he sitting? How is he? So Prabhupada's answer was, in order to find that out, you have to meditate for thousands of years. So she kind of looked at him in dismay because she wasn't, thinking of this kind of answer. Excuse me. But then he replied that he's actually standing, and then she went off happy. Another incident was about Mr. and Mrs. Bloomert. Excuse me. So there was, this new disciple, his name was Michael Bloomert. And he was going through psychological, psychologist and everything. But then he found Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, and he started coming to the temple. So Mr. Bloomert, he was still a little doubtful after even meeting Srila Prabhupada. Even though he respected him, he was still, a little doubtful. Mrs. Bloomert, after she met Srila Prabhupada, she was a little more accepting and understood that his divine grace was a great soul. So Mr. Bloomert, his response was when he talked to Prabhupada about his son, he said, "I wanted my son to help in more practical way. And by becoming a doctor." So that's what he wanted his son to do. And Prabhupada's response was really great here, because a lot of times devotees, we also think that, we want to do something practical, but it's not really worth it. We can only do so much, even charity or something, right? We can only do so much to a certain extent. If we are going to give some charity to someone, we cannot continually do that for the rest of the person's life. So, eventually it is just temporary. We cannot permanently do something for someone. But what we can do is permanently is by changing their heart and soul to, devote their love to Krishna. Because when you have that, then you have everything. So here, Prabhupada has said that, there's so many doctors we have, but people are still suffering. The doctors did not stop the suffering, the suffering of the people. So what is the point? But a Krishna conscious person, he can relieve the person's suffering completely. So it's obviously more valuable because it's going to stay with us throughout, not just this lifetime. Srila Prabhupada says that, and Bhagavad Gita Krishna has said this, there's no loss in spiritual endeavors. So if you do something this lifetime, you will make sure you start, Krishna makes sure that we start from that place in our next lifetime. But when, no matter what we do, like let's say we become a millionaire in this lifetime, but as soon as we die, definitely we have to start again when we're born again, right? It doesn't stay, those $1 million and everything, we don't stay, our degrees don't stay with us in the next lifetime. So it's very important to understand that we need to look at the long term and more deeper meaning to the life things. That doesn't mean that you don't do anything that's small, right? But it just means that we have to understand that it's not the great. You're trying to help a little bit, but there's still a more higher purpose. So, and this painting on the left of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda Prabhu, it is actually by Jadurani because she was a painter. So then Prabhupada had, obviously the temple in the 26th Avenue, they were going to buy a new building for a new temple. But the devotees actually got cheated by this Mr. Price and Mr. Tyler. So we've heard that in the previous chapters. And now when Prabhupada was back, he said, he insisted to Brahmananda to inform Mr. Tyler that, we need to prosecute these culprits. So, he had wheeled 6,000 from the devotees in that building. So he, Brahmananda went to Mr. Tyler and Mr. Price, and he said, His Excellency, so Srila Prabhupada, is back and he would take them to court So Mr. Tyler actually then refunded most of the 5,000 deposit that he had from the devotees, and Mr. Price also returned 750 of the 1,000. But the legal services still had cost more than 1,000, you know, so that was actually lost from the devotees. So Prabhupada's response when they, you know, came to this calculation was, when dealing with a tiger, you can expect to get scratched. So it's a good, you know, humorous kind of way to see this thing. And, you know, it makes you also understand that we should try to fight for Krishna instead of being just submissive. We cannot be passive every time. Sometimes we have to be not in a rude way or something, but we need to make sure that we can be firm in some of the things, especially in the service of Krishna. And then Prabhupada was invited to a Alan Burke's TV show. And this Alan Burke was a person who was always smoking cigars, and he says these outrageous things, and he insults his guests that come there. So, and he notices if they become offended, he actually finds humor in that and he provokes them more. But, you know, when Prabhupada was there, he was invited. Prabhupada actually was so gracious. And, you know, afterwards, like he was driving home or to the temple again. And he said somehow that, you know, the TV lights caused him so much pain in his head at one point that he had thought he would not be able to continue. So this was like a beginning of Srila Prabhupada's health issues that will be, you know, this chapter really entails about. So next, you know, we see, and this is the Alan Burke show. This is what, you know, who he was. Just thought it was a interesting thing. And then Prabhupada's health here. So devotees actually, after that incident, you know, they started noticing these different things in Prabhupada. So Prabhupada's hand was shaking as he spoke. His heart is skipping and not able to move. He had complained to Kirtananand about this. So he was also speaking about this. And, you know, Kirtananand was advised by Srila Prabhupada that, you know, don't take me to the hospital if I ever get too sick. He just wanted his chanting beads and chant Hare Krishna. So, you know, these disciples did not restrain him, Srila Prabhupada, because he, you know, they all thought that he was a Krishna's empowered representative who can surmount any difficulty. So, you know, there was a letter that Srila Prabhupada had written to one of the disciples' grandmother to console her. And he says in that letter that all our ailments are due to external body. And we have to suffer sometimes from bodily inconveniences, especially at an old age. But if you're God conscious, then you will not feel the pain. So it doesn't necessarily remove the danger, you know, not the bodily pains or anything, inconveniences is still there. But we will not feel it to that extent, understanding why we have it, right? So the best thing is to chant. And they thought, like, you know, nothing like the, you know, like what happened to the grandmother of this disciple, what happened to Srila Prabhupada. So they thought he was just a divine person. I mean, he is, right? But, you know, they mistook the whole part or idea of the body still being material. This was the last week of May next, and Prabhupada had, you know, felt some heart palpitations. So there he said, you know, he didn't want any visitors, and he thought it would, you know, he hoped at least that they would go away in a day or two. So there was a big program that they had organized right before the Memorial Day. But Prabhupada's condition actually became worse that time. And, you know, his face was pale and, you know, he had mild heart palpitations. So, you know, again, after it stopped, after some massage, it happened again the same night. So on Memorial Day, this twitching began again. And Swamiji's face again began to tighten up. His eyes started to roll and he threw himself back. And, you know, it was good that Kirtananand was right behind him, so he was able to catch him. And he actually thought that this was Swamiji's last breath, until he actually saw Swamiji breathing again. And then he also chanted. Even in that condition, Prabhupada was chanting. And he wasn't even able to sit up, and he, you know, kept moaning, and no one really understood what was happening to Srila Prabhupada. So his left side became paralyzed. And then, you know, he asked the disciples to bring the picture of his spiritual master in front of him. And he asked the disciples to pray to Lord Nrsimhadev, saying, and this is what the title of this chapter is. So, and this is, you know, why it makes sense, because he Prabhupada asked the, you know, the devotees, the disciples to pray that, you know, please pray that my master has not finished his work. So please let him finish. Everyone was chanting for Swamiji. And, you know, when they were chanting and they finally decided they need to take him to the doctor. When they were going to take him to doctor, they couldn't find any doctors because everyone was on vacation due to the, you know, long holiday. So they finally found one doctor. They managed to find one doctor who was, you know, who didn't even diagnose Srila Prabhupada correctly. He just thought this was some cold or something. And definitely that was not it, right? And the disciples actually saw that, you know, he was having some weird look at the look of, because he saw all the hippies there and he thought they were all hippies. And, you know, he just wanted to get out as soon as he could. So that's why he just said, you know, after devotees asked again, they're like, oh, he has influenza. And he's like, can I just get my payment and go? And then he, you know, they paid him and he went. So obviously, you know, that's not a correct diagnosis, and Swamiji's condition actually got worse. So he had to be, you know, seen by a doctor who can diagnose him correctly. So then another doctor they found by Krishna's mercy. And, you know, he is the one who explained to everyone that Srila Prabhupada had actually a mild heart attack, and he needs to be admitted to the hospital. So they ended up taking him, Srila Prabhupada, to a private hospital, which is in the picture you see here. This is the Beth Israel Hospital. And this hospital was private, so they didn't have any ambulance service. So they had to actually call a private ambulance. And then this private ambulance was not helpful at all. They actually came late. Instead of, you know, 9 a.m., they were supposed to take Prabhupada to this to the hospital, but they ended up coming at noon. And even the people in the ambulance were not so nice. So, you know, even these disciples, after Prabhupada was taken to the hospital, the disciples in New York had informed Srila Prabhupada of Srila Prabhupada's condition to the San Francisco devotees. And they also asked them to chant and pray to Lord Nrsimhadev. So, you know, all these disciples were so sad and morose. They did not even sleep at all. So, you know, with their enthusiasm and everything, even, you know, there's other people who joined with the chanting and prayers for Swamiji. And they were all, you know, praying for this one thing, that let their spiritual master live to spread Lord Chaitanya's glorious Sankirtan movement around the world. And then, you know, they have chanted for 14 hours without stopping, nonstop. And, you know, the chanting actually releases us from all these the additional stress that gets created in our minds, right? And additional worries and concerns and everything. So they kept chanting, but Prabhupada was still in critical condition. He, you know, when one devotee was allowed to stay with him in the hospital room, so they, you know, the disciples took turns going, and, you know, he was kept being massaged by these devotees, these disciples. And then there was a story of, you know, Prabhupada needing a spinal tap. So Prabhupada, you know, got this, and then, you know, the disciple was right there. So he asked afterwards that, did this, you know, spinal tap hurt Prabhupada? And Prabhupada's response was, we are tolerant. So this obviously, you know, this also tells us that how tolerant Prabhupada was, right? He was so tolerant, not only this physical way, but even emotional, when his disciples were, you know, doing all these wrong things, even though they were disciples. He was still, you know, very compassionate towards them. So, you know, we need to be learning this from this quality too. So we need to make sure we are more tolerant than a tree and more humbler than a blade of grass. So that is the only way we can keep on chanting Lord's name, Chaitanya Sadhari, right? So, you know, Prabhupada then had written a letter to Mathura, you know, because his preference was to get Ayurvedic medical treatment. So he asked in the letter to send Ayurvedic medicines from India to US, or send an Ayurvedic doctor. But obviously this was not feasible for anyone in India. And, you know, there was a time, a response had come back that, if something goes wrong, what we're going to do, right? If you have bad reaction to these Ayurvedic medicines for some reason, who's gonna see it and take that into their hands? So then the second day, you know, Prabhupada had showed some improvement. And as soon as he had shown some improvement, right, he right away, you know, he just started preaching to the doctor, who showed a little bit of an interest. But, you know, and he strongly believed that doctors could not do anything. Only Krishna can, right? It says, Rakhe Krishna Marike, Marike Krishna Rakheke. So who is going to save you if Krishna wants to kill you? And who's going to kill you if Krishna wants to save you? So it's, you know, this reminds me of Prahlad Maharaj's story too, right? He was put through so many difficulties by his own father. Yet he was sheltered by the lotus feet of Vishnu. So he could not be killed. And, you know, with Nrisimha Chaturdashi coming up, it's a great way to really, you know, meditate on Prahlad Maharaj's story and Nrisimha Dev's story. So I thought, you know, it would be a good point to make here. And Prabhupada then finally began sitting up, and he started taking prasadam, which was supplemented by some vegetarian items on the hospital menu. And, you know, he would say a prayer and offer the hospital food to the picture of his spiritual master. So I put this picture here of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he, you know, he would always offer the hospital food to this picture as his Gurudev, and then, you know, taken. And, you know, the disciples kept rotating and massaging Srila Prabhupada. So this was the, you know, importance of Vapu Seva. They got to have such intimate Vapu Seva, you know, with Srila Prabhupada, and serve Srila Prabhupada in such a way. So one of the times, you know, Purushottam was a disciple who was, you know, with Prabhupada. He asked, what does the lotus feet mean? So Prabhupada gave an example of, you know, when at the time of death, it is compared to the crossing of a vast ocean. And it's so fearful, right? Even if you just have to cross, you know, there's no plane or something, it's your own ways. Imagine crossing that, it's so fearful. But one who has taken the load, you know, shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, then Krishna actually takes them with him to, you know, cross this material ocean, which is, it gets shrunk up. There's really, like, you don't feel it, right? It's there, but you don't feel it. It gets shrunken up. No more than the impression made in the mud by a calf's hoof print. So this is a very important lesson for us. You know, if we compare this to even different miseries of this world, we know that when you have Krishna's shelter, you know, he will definitely, the problem still exists, but we don't feel it to that extent, having the knowledge of why this problem may be there. And that also helps us from judging any one or any situation, because we will understand that it is, you know, our own doings. We don't know what we had done in our previous lives, right? So just because you don't see it doesn't mean that you didn't do something. So you're just getting those things back, you know, but, you know, Krishna actually minimizes those impacts that we get when we become his devotee. So it's so beautiful. He's so merciful to even souls, like, you know, that are just doing so sinful activities. But, you know, once they surrender, it's a different feeling. And then we should never judge these people either, right? Like these devotees or these people who were not devotees before, but then became a devotees. We need to make sure that we are, we understand that they're on this right path. It may take some time for them to, you know, remove all the different anarthas that they may have, including, you know, that they might not even know. But at least they're on the right path. So we need to look at, you know, how Srila Prabhupada always looked at the positives. We have to look at that they're using their time in service of Krishna, even though they may not be completely purified yet, but they will be on the process. They are on the process, so they will be. So Prabhupada's interactions with his disciples, again, in hospital, this is continuing. Swami Sachidananda, that's the picture of the Swami on the right. He's a Hatha Yoga Guru, and he actually came to meet Srila Prabhupada. He asked, you know, they were having discussion, and then Srila Prabhupada had asked Achyutananda to read Srimad Bhagavatam purport. And, you know, it was about, you know, if there's enough of everything, then why people need for economic development in the shape of machine and tools? You know, will that machine and tools bring vigor and vitality to the man and animals? Will it produce grains, fruits, milk, and jewelry or silk? So, you know, we have so many facilities in this material world, but we're using those things to gratify our senses. So we need to make sure that we can use them in service of Krishna, because when we have that, you know, that is the real treasure that we will have, not these machines and tools just for our own sense gratification, because, you know, we are also impacted by so many different things. You know, they don't see, you know, for example, I know one of my mentors had explained this to me before. We created, you know, the cars were invented for the purpose of driving, you know, but then we found out that we were actually, you know, putting in so much, you know, we were depleting the ozone layer from those fumes of the cars exhausting, right? So then we're in the electric car. So there's going to be something or another. There's going to be continuously, we try to figure out how we can do things better by using, and, you know, these material resources that are given by Krishna, but for our pleasure. So we need to, it doesn't mean that you don't use them. Again, we have to use everything somehow to put it in Krishna's service. So, you know, in the example of this car, let's use it to go, you know, take it to the temple, and, you know, to you know, use in Krishna's service somehow, supposed to go preaching in different places. So this was, again, disciples' discussions with Swamiji's. So as soon as, you know, not with Swamiji's, this was just them discussing, you know, after you know, no, they were not in the hospital, they were actually just amongst themselves. And they were just discussing Swamiji's health condition. So they said, you know, as soon as he had a heart attack, he remembered to chant Hare Krishna, thinking that death can come at any time. So he was so well aware that, you know, he didn't get distracted by the pain that he was in. He said, Hare Krishna. That's the first thing. So how, you know, and in order for us to say this, we need to practice it throughout our life in order to even think that way, right? Otherwise, if we don't practice it, then, you know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to say Hare Krishna at the end of my life. But you only, you know, can say and do things that your mind will only go to the things that you've been practicing all your life. And then, you know, pure, and this was another conversation too, is that pure devotee suffering is not the same as ordinary man. So, you know, the example was about the cat carrying the kitten in the mouth, right? It feels the kitten feels the affection and safety in the mouth of the cat, but that same jaws, when the cat has, you know, is catching a mouse, the mouse actually feels the fear and danger. So same thing when a devotee is going, you know, leaving this body, he feels affection and safety of the Lord, right? Because they're sheltered by the Lord. But, you know, a materialist will feel this fear and danger, and he cannot leave. He's in so much pain. So another was also that, you know, the spiritual master may suffer for sins of his disciples as he has to take their karma. So, you know, when they said this, they actually recognized that they need to learn to be very strict. And they need to have, you know, that's the importance to them, right? They need to become very strict. And they should not commit any sins to burden their spiritual master. So, you know, at least they were in this kind of mentality where they actually thought this way. And they wanted to be more serious about Krishna consciousness after this incident that happened. So that's very sweet of them to even understand that. And Krishna arranged all of these things, one of the disciples said, so that all his disciples can be in intimate service to Swamiji, so Guru, right? Because when you serve the, you know, Swamiji, or when you serve your Guru, by either Vapu Seva or Vani Seva for that matter, we gain favor of Krishna. And, you know, Krishna slowly purifies us when we can follow the instructions of our spiritual master. So this is what they're doing. And, you know, it was Krishna's plan to purify them. And Swamiji had informed Satswarupa that, you know, their prayers had actually saved him from death. So this is showing us the power of prayers, right? Devotees' prayers is very helpful. They're like kalpataru. So, you know, they are just going to always save you from any fall even, right? That's why even association, you know, we always say we need to be an association of devotees, because let's say sometimes we may not have the strong, you know, willpower to chant one day or do something. So if we're doing it with devotees, then for sure, you know, we will, their enthusiasm will spread onto us, because also, you know, who we associate with, that is those qualities will, you know, those qualities come in us. So that's why it's important to make sure that we're always in the right association of devotees. So this is, again, you know, they're saying that they should take good care of Swamiji. So now they're coming out of this example, or they thought, right, Swamiji, nothing can happen to Swamiji, but they were forgetting that it's still a body, so he needs to be still taken care of. So now they were more serious, and they decided that they will make sure that they can give Swamiji more rest. And they said that they'll read Swamiji's books more carefully so that they can carry on, you know, because this is what Prabhupada's wish was, to, you know, to carry on his mission and mission of Lord Chaitanya. So you can't do that unless you yourself understand the philosophy as well as, you know, have the bhakti to do it. And, you know, they're going to act according to his instructions by this. So this was a whole discussion between the disciples, which was very sweet exchanges between disciples to make sure that they can help their guru come out of and, you know, understood the importance of guru at this time. So there was an event at the Tompkins Square Park event, right? So this was before Prabhupada got sick. So obviously, because he's in the hospital, he's not able to go, but he still advised his disciples to go and you know, lead the kirtana there. So he wrote a letter, and he asked Kirtanananda to convey the message from the letter to the you know, people who come to this event at Tompkins Square Park event. So he had said in the letter that, you know, he came to West due to the instructions of his spiritual master. And he saw these, you know, youngsters who were being misled, confused, and they were frustrated. And this wasn't only the case in America. It was case everywhere in this world. And he thought that, you know, problems like, you know, all these problems that are in the world, they can be solved if these young American youth can spread the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. And, you know, and that can happen by singing and dancing. It puts everyone onto this spiritual platform. And all these, you know, problems that are created by other platforms, so bodily, mental, intellectual, they all can be solved by just, you know, having the spiritual platform. So, you know, we still can have problems on bodily platform, you know, for example, but when we chant with absorption and attention, the bodily, you know, platform problems really just come, you know, it's there, but you don't focus on it. And that way you don't feel it as much, because your attention is gone on Krishna, much strongly. And then, you know, he also said that these restrictions aren't restrictions. So, you know, the four regulative principles that we have, they're really not restrictions. but they're actually for something better in place of something inferior. So this is coming off to, you know, having the higher taste. People think that things are so, you know, strict or something, I cannot do this. But until they have and feel this higher taste, they're not able to let go of the lower taste. So, and, you know, in order to get the taste, we need to endeavor sincerely, and not only sincerely, but with determination. Our body, our mind will tell us, no, don't do it. It's okay. It's okay. But, you know, with determination, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, 2.41, you have to have the resolute intelligence, right? You have to be resolute in purpose to practice this. Otherwise, it's many brands, right? Vyavasayatmika buddhire keha kurunandana. So we need to make sure we are one-pointed focus in order to reach the goal of, you know, serving Krishna. And this is, again, Prabhupada was still in the hospital, and he said, you know, he was so, you know, just not fond of needles. So he said, there's needles every day. And, you know, there was an incident when he was supposed to go down, you know, from his room in the hospital to get x-ray done. So this nurse comes there downstairs, and he's like, okay, time for another injection. And Garga Muni was with him, right? He's the one who actually wheeled his bed downstairs. You know, Robot said, no, I don't want to have this. So Garga Muni, he came in between the nurse and Srila Prabhupada and said, no, don't give it to him. And, you know, the nurse insisted, no, it will only make you feel better. So Garga Muni actually said, I am ready to fight, but I won't let you do it. That's just so sweet. I think that it's such a sweet exchange, because, you know, his spiritual master said he doesn't want to go through it. So he was doing everything possible in his hands to not let that happen. And he actually took Prabhupada, he wheeled him, you know, the bed out of the room, leaving the nurse behind. And he couldn't even remember where to go. Like he didn't know what room they had to go to or anything, because he was so just, you know, in the zone of not letting Prabhupada be in, you know, injected with another needle. So he just took Prabhupada, and he finally, you know, he was able to find the room, and there was another intern in that room. And Garg Muni says, you know, angrily to this even other intern in the room, I don't care. You know, he doesn't want any more needles or tests, so we want to leave. And then Brahmanand was there in the room, and he calmed Garga Muni. And, you know, Brahmanand calmly asked the doctor if they can take Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was feeling fine. So he said, you know, can we take him out of hospital? So the doctor said, yes, he's getting stronger, but he's still not out of danger. So we would not allow you to, you know, take him. We still need to monitor him. So then, you know, Brahmanand and Garga Muni were just like, this is it. We, you know, Prabhupada doesn't want to stay. He's ready to leave. They helped him get Prabhupada dressed. And then they arranged for a rented car and escorted him out of the hospital. So here again, the hospital staff and the nurse, they were trying to stop them. But and they even made, you know, Brahmanand and Garga Muni feel so bad that if Swamiji dies, then it will be your fault. And Brahmanand said, you know, they will take good care of him just by regularly giving him massages. Then they'll assure that he gets plenty of rest. They'll give whatever medicines he gets prescribed. And, you know, he will also live in a seaside one-story cottage, not at the temple or with everyone, where he will have lots of, you know, activities going on. And they will also bring him back for a checkup. So, you know, this way they just took him out, wheeled him out, and took the rented car and took Prabhupada back. This was just so, you know, it shows us the mood of disciple, how strongly we should serve this, you know, our Guru Maharaj. Yeah, you know, a lot of us, most of us might not have our spiritual masters, you know, to do Vapu Seva in front of us, but we always have their Vani Seva, right? And Prabhupada's Vani Seva too. So we need to really understand how strongly we should be serving the spiritual master's requirements that he asked us to do. So here, this is the story about the seaside cottage. And here, you know, Swamiji had moved to a one-story cottage for some time to get some rest. But this place, there was always blustery and the sky was gray. So there's no sunshine. He was just, you know, in this gloomy kind of weather. And there was a beach nearby and everything. But, you know, it was just that this weather was just always gray. And he was taken care of by a Grihastha couple, Gaurasundar and Govindadasi. So here we see the story of Govindadasi. She always, you know, since she had met them, because they're from San Francisco. So when she first met Prabhupada in San Francisco, she always had desired to, you know, personally serve Swamiji. And she didn't even mention this to her husband, who was Gaurasundar. But, you know, somehow with the external reasons and everything, it came that, you know, her and Gaurasundar would be taken care of Swamiji in this one-story cottage. So, you know, she understood that this was Krishna fulfilling her desire. So this is, you know, how Krishna is always very, you know, he's always reciprocative. He, you know, makes everyone feel that he is only for them. Like example, if you can think of his gopis, right, in the Ras Lila. He makes everyone feel like he's only theirs. Even in the, you know, he had 16,108 queens. But all of the queens, they were all satisfied. They all each had their own, you know, mentions and everything, right? Like, and he was reciprocative with each one in an individual way. So it's just so sweet how Krishna makes all of us feel like he's only doing everything for us. You know, we as human beings, we cannot even, you know, serve ourselves, you know, or satisfy ourselves, let alone anyone else. Even one person, but he fully satisfies everyone. So that's the greatness of Krishna here and the sweetness at the same time. So Govindasi's conversation with Srila Prabhupada, she was serving him in this cottage, right? So they were, you know, she said this talk about Krishna from Swamiji was like, she felt that Krishna was present in the room. That's how the vibes were when Swamiji would talk about Krishna. So this tells us that we, you know, he was so enthusiastic and so personal with Krishna. And he would get into this beautiful state where this room, you know, like the whole room would glow golden. And she feels like she was transported to another realm. And, you know, everything that Swamiji had done, it was just wonderful to Govindasi. So, you know, even just reading this, it makes us feel like, oh my God, you know, how great Prabhupada would have described pastimes of Lord Krishna. It's that beautiful, right? He transfers his enthusiasm and his feelings to whoever he's talking to. So then this was a conversation. They were once, you know, by the beach, and he, you know, this was Kirtananand, Gaurasundar, Govindasi, and Jadurani, and Prabhupada. So they were surfers, you know, they were surfers at the beach. And, you know, they're discussing their meaning, you know, Prabhupada was saying, these surfers are feeling that it is so blissful to surf. But the actual real bliss is only in the spiritual world. In this, you know, material world, there is dangers at every step, right? So obviously these surfers don't understand. There's also danger, you know, they're actually playing with danger while surfing. So, but everything in Krishna Loka, it is conscious. So everything is taking care of you, right? We see these, this was a good example I had thought, like everything is conscious, meaning, you know, even trees and flowers in spiritual world, they actually talk. They're, you know, we see these animated movies. It actually came from these, you know, our Vedic culture, that there's spiritual world like this. So it was a nice connection in my mind, I thought. So in this material life, we always feel, you know, either we experience the separation from what is beloved to us, or we meet up with the obstacle that we don't want to meet. And to combat these positions or conditions, we even go a little, you know, more wrong or even worse route to just combat these conditions. They would bring up questions from devotees in New York, you know, and one of the questions was, is the leather shoes permissible? And Prabhupada, you know, right away said, nope, it's not, because leather means violence. You know, an animal was actually, the life was of an animal was taken away and in order for you to wear this leather. So this, you know, everywhere is just, you know, everyone was treasuring these intimate association with Swamiji. And then as soon as Swamiji would wake up from resting, again, he would start preaching and use all of his energy. So, and devotees even cautioned him at times, right? But he'll say, you know, using energy for Krishna service is what you need to do. So this is what he kept on doing. And Govindasi, you know, there was a conversation with Govindasi and Swamiji about, you know, is it true that because we're women, we won't make advancement as quickly as brahmacharis? And Prabhupada's answer was, yes, if you consider yourself a woman, then how can you make advancement? You have to see yourself as a spirit soul, eternal servant of Krishna. And that is our first teaching that, you know, Srila Prabhupada has, is telling all of us. The first, and, you know, a lot of other religions and everything, it's like the last thing that you get to this platform of, we're not this body, we're the soul. But Prabhupada does it opposite. He says that we have to first understand that we're not this body and we're spirit soul. So because when we understand this, we can do all the other things. And, you know, this was, again, Prabhupada's thoughts at the end of this chapter. You know, he wanted to go to India to get some more sunshine and Ayurvedic care. But then these plans always varied. And, you know, eventually he was going to go to San Francisco then because the devotees had held a Rath Yatra festival. So, you know, the devotees had him taken back to hospital to just have another checkup. And the doctor was so surprised to see that, you know, Prabhupada had recovered so nicely. And they approved Swamiji to fly to San Francisco. And, you know, there, obviously, there's going to be sunshine. And, you know, he was eager to guide his followers in performing Rath Yatra. So with that, I would like to conclude by just key takeaway points here. So serving Guru is one of the key points, right? Either Vani or Vapu Seva, we have to do very enthusiastically and also very sincerely with determination. Even if we're not perfect, you know, we've read this, even if we're not perfect, we can become perfect by just serving the person who is perfect. So when we serve Guru, he is perfect. He's a Goswami. So when we serve him, at least with enthusiastically, automatically we will develop the same love for Krishna as he has. And purity is force, preaching is essence, and utility is principle. In our ISKCON, right, we say purity is the force. So we need to purify ourselves in order to preach, which is the essence. And how do we purify? We need to do the austerities, right? Again, not for ourselves, not to satisfy our false ego or anything, but we need to do austerity to please Krishna. So by, you know, how do we do this? You know, when we follow these four regulatory principles of no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling, we are trying to purify ourselves to become a human at least, so that we can understand Krishna and try to go back to him. And then, you know, following again with determination, with being resolute in purpose. And then, you know, this Govindasi's example of, you know, Krishna reciprocates and fulfills our desires. So she thought, you know, she had just this strong desire inside her house. And this is like, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that yeya tamam prapadyante tam sateva bhajamiham. So when he reciprocates based on how you approach him. So Govindasi was having this strong desire and, you know, obviously Krishna reciprocated in her way, right? So understanding he always reciprocates, even though we don't understand sometimes that it is for the good, you know, in our life, it is always for the good. You know, we probably can go back to our old self sometime and understand, you know, the problem that we felt at that time was so strong and we were in so much misery. But when we come back, you know, look back from today to then, we'll understand that there was a point behind that. It was there to help purify us and go towards Krishna. If we had perfect lives, And, you know, we would never be coming to Krishna consciousness. We'll always want to just stay in this material world. And then chanting is very crucial. So, you know, this is the most, you know, essential thing that we need to do. And, you know, it's just not chanting. We need to make sure we chant with, you know, strong determination and to please the Lord and Guru, and with absorption and attention, because otherwise, you know, we've also known people who chant, but then there's nothing, like there was no transformation. We need to make sure that, you know, we can purify, because chanting attentively and with absorption will affect it. So there is a marginum, right? Shikshashtaka prayers that Lord Chaitanya had written. It cleanses the mirror of our mind and our heart, so we can become purified and see things as they are versus with our own, you know, imperfect senses, which is one of the things that, you know, we all living entities have. And then the power of prayer. So Prabhupada had prayed to Lord for his disciples to become serious. And, you know, definitely this was arranged by the Lord that he got so sick that the, you know, the disciples actually understood that they need to be more serious. They need to read his book with more attention and follow his instructions more thoroughly to become good disciples. And that way, you know, it's opposite to, right, Prabhupada's, when the disciples were praying for Prabhupada, he also came out of the death. So it's, you know, power of prayers from a real devotee here, and, you know, it's very, very strong, and it can create miracles. And another thing is have fun in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada had a lot of different ways that he had fun. He, you know, sang and danced, and he, you know, even with question and answer, sometimes he would just answer in such a funny way, right? Like this Jadurani's example, how Lord Vishnu situated in the heart. He was saying, you have to do, you know, penance for so long to understand that. But then, you know, finally he said that he's just standing. So things like that. And then tolerant. Tolerant means, you know, we need to, again, he was so tolerant of his disciples doing incorrect things. But eventually he tolerated and the Lord listened to his prayers and they all became very serious in, you know, performing Krishna consciousness. So remember that we need to clean our mind, intelligence, and false ego, because these things have been with us since unlimited lifetimes. And, you know, to clean our mind, we need to chant very attentively and with absorption. So that will clean our mind. And then to purify our intelligence, we need to read Srila Prabhupada's scriptures. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, so that will help us purify our intelligence. And, you know, to remove our false ego, we need to serve Vaishnavas, because when we serve Vaishnavas, it is definitely going to, you know, remove our false egos, because it's not going to be always our way, and our way is the right way, right? It's always going to be cooperation. Prabhupada's last instruction, I remember, you know, is how his disciples can please him is by cooperating with each other. So that cooperation also brings tolerance. And, you know, it also makes us more humble and makes us get rid of our false ego. So with this, I would like to conclude this chapter. I am so sorry again for any mistakes that I may have might made, and all the things that may have made sense. You know, it's all due to grace of my mentors, Siksha Gurus, and Srila Prabhupada's books, and hearing different devotees' lectures. And of course, my main guru, you know, since childhood is my mom. So she's, you know, it's whoever I am is because of her. And thank you. Thank you, everyone. Hare Krishna. I'll try to answer questions, but, you know, I'm happy to have like any kind of discussion or you know, share your realizations if we have time. Mataji, do we?
Hare Krishna, Omega Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. What a beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. So many realizations, so much deep love for Srila Prabhupada we can see, Mataji. Thank you so much for taking your time, accepting the request and coming on the call and, you know, doing this chapter. I really like many points. First, initially, that airplane example was very nice. when you go higher, you will see higher things. When you're in lower, you always see everything fault, and you know, because of Maya, very beautiful, and using the leather bags, all that, you know, details, so many details you have explained, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji, for your association. Very grateful to you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. All grace to Srila Prabhupada. It's just copy paste from different lectures and everything and the chapter. So thank you.
I really like an end slide, Mataji, that you have put for the takeaway points that you detailedly explained how the service is very important to Guru, and you know, chanting and everything that you have explained. So beautiful, Mataji. People very grateful to you.
It's all for my purification, Mataji. So I need to learn these things. That is why I put those on there for myself.
Hare Krishna, Mega Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. What a wonderful summary, Mataji. You did a lot of work and you have given us the essence of this chapter. Very, very nice, Mataji. And I especially like the takeaway points, the summary, how you concluded and what are the main things we have to focus and how important is Guru in our life and how we have to do the Vani Seva and Vapu Seva. Those are very nice, Mataji. And especially chanting also, how we have to focus on our chanting with association of devotees. And I cannot stop myself to praise your glorious mom. I hear your mom chanting every day. I was so inspired your mother chanting. So all glories to your mother. And what a wonderful raising, Mataji. You are like a example to our kids. And very nice to have you on this call. And while listening to your class, our summary, throughout the week, I will be in a very stressful mood, doing all my chores, taking care of kids, doing deity worship, everything. But when I listen to summaries of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Amrita, my soul gets a kind of breathing. My soul breathes after hearing the Lila Amrita sessions. And your class is today awesome, Mataji. Very nice. And whenever you get opportunity, Mataji, please come on the call and give your realizations and summaries, Mataji. Thank you so much for taking up this session. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Grace Krishna Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Mega Mataji. Thank you so much. It was a great treat to hear you speak. You presented everything so beautifully, so systematically. I really liked the portion when you described about how Srila Prabhupada, at one point he was paralyzed, and that was really heart moving. And how he dealt with other spiritualists, trying to see them with a proper vision, understanding that their contribution is very important. They are on the right path. They just have a little more to clear, and they would soon. I mean, that's like, you know, telling us too how much we must respect anyone who has actually taken up to the path of spirituality, irrespective of their, in one sense, their ultimate understanding. But we should realize that they are also getting close. So that was very, very sweet. His dependence on Krishna, the importance that it is very important to be dependent on Krishna. Actually, in this world, no one else can save you but Krishna. And the way you highlighted devotee association, like, you know, sometimes our sadhana may not be perfect, but it is so important for us to be in devotee association, because even if we slip a bit, the devotees actually pick us up. And the most beautiful part of your presentation was about the experience of pain that you described, that when our mind is diverted in Krishna consciousness, automatically our focus is not on the pain. Krishna takes care of it. And that is so practical, Mataji. Such a fabulous class. You did full justice to the entire chapter, and I'm so glad this chapter came to you. We are looking forward to the session.
Thank you.
Inspired by you, we really want you to come and speak more. So thank you so much for your association.
Thank you so much for opportunity, Mataji. Without this opportunity, I could not have, you know, done this for my purification. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I'm very ever grateful to you and Vinita Gandharika Mataji. This was just beautiful. Thank you so much.
Mataji, would you mind to share your daily routine, how to manage your Krishna consciousness, how to manage your services, how you will go to your work, all this? Can you share how you will manage?
Sure,
just to get inspiration for you, Mataji.
Yeah, this is all only due to Krishna's mercy and devotees association. Nothing is mine. I could not do any of this. Trust me. First of all, I hated waking up, and I just loved eating food. So this is all grace through all the devotees and association. So, and Krishna's mercy. So I wake up early to chant, because, you know, that's, initially the whole point was so I could try to fit this in, fit chanting in, because, you know, before I used to do it throughout the day, but then I remember one time, first I was doing it in the car, because my work is pretty far, so I would do it in the car while driving. So I asked His Grace Amoglila Prabhu, and he said, no, we should not chant in the car. You can do it, you know, just not counting in the 16 rounds that we chant. You can do it additionally that way, that's fine. So I had to stop then. So I was doing it after my work. And then my husband had said, you know, you stopped spending some quality time with kids and myself and everything. So then to make sure that happens. And then the same night, you know, it kind of agitated me at that time. So then that same night I was reading Bhagavad Gita, and it said, you know, and Krishna was telling Arjuna that this, you know, sleep is ignorance. So I thought, like, everything was arranged by Krishna in that way. And then I always heard from mentors and everyone that we should always chant early during Brahm Muhurat, because at least that way we can have our mind, you know, be a little, you know, even though it can be distracted, but there's more possibility that we can tell the mind to come back. In the morning especially. So then I found Bhakti Sangha Japa group in this way. You know, I started doing morning chanting because of that. And then gradually I developed, you know, just loving to do it in the morning with Bhakti Sangha Japa group. Considering, you know, some days it is off and I'm not able to wake up, or there's something else going on, then I can't. But that first thing, you know, I always heard, again, this was His Grace Amoglila Prabhu's lecture, when we go out in the real world, you know, it's like we're entering Kurukshetra war. And when we enter this Kurukshetra war, if we don't have, a protecting, armor with us, then we will be hit with all these arrows all from all the sides, and we'll just, you know, we'll go crazy. But if we have the protective armor, which is chanting, so when we chant first and then start our daily day, routine, it will, you know, protect us from all these different arrows that come our way. So you know, from all of this I started chanting in the morning. So I was trying to get to that. And then I go to work, and you know, when I go to work, I try to listen again Bhakti Sangha Japa group or different lectures of devotees or brahmacharis, or you know, different lectures of my aspiring spiritual master. Any of this, even while working, sometimes I listen to lectures, because I am very addicted to lectures. If you can say that, I am really addicted to lectures. I just love to hear. And it's not a good thing. I mean, in a good thing, meaning, you know, I'm not trying to. It's really just so that my mind can stay in Krishna consciousness. That's the only reason, you know, why I just love hearing lectures. With that being said, after I come home, I try to, even during lunch, if I'm working at home, right, I try to do lunch for kids. And I try to give them only prasadam. So I try to cook as much as I can. So they don't feel, because they're not Krishna conscious, right? At least, I mean, I shouldn't say they're not, because they do one chanting, but it's like all because they have to do it. So they're not doing it out of love right now. So, you know, I try to give them prasadams, eventually thinking that it can create, you know, mercy of the Lord in their heart. And, you know, even if they go haywire in this Kali Yuga with association or with outside nature, eventually they can come back in foundation, because that's kind of something what happened with me. So I'm thinking this will be the same for them. And then I try to cook dinner, you know, at least. So after I come back from home, there's like a quick dinner that, you know, would happen. And then when I have my Bhagavatam class, it's in the evening at 7:30. So before that, I try to finish the house things. 7:30 to 8, I have Bhagavatam reading. And then I also read Bhagavad Gita or Prabhupada Lilamrita with another devotee. So I always read, never alone. I've always read in group with devotees. So that is also helpful because it keeps me, you know, motivated. And it makes me make sure that I read. Otherwise, if I just do it by myself, I know that one day I'll be tired and I will not want to read. But so it's, that's why I say all graces, the devotees are on me. They keep me on track. And then so reading is done with devotees. And then household is done. And we chant at the end of the day, you know, like all together, one round at least. And that's it. And throughout, you know, in the middle, I try to do the other services from the local temple. And yeah, that's really it. Nothing special, Mataji.
No, Mataji. So much planning, and you're doing so much, Mataji, in spite of your busy schedule, Mataji. I'm thinking how wonderfully you're managing your Krishna consciousness, your family, and your work. So nice, Mataji. And I want to ask for forgiveness, Mataji. I want to beg your forgiveness. I thought in the poster they said Bhaktin Mega. So I thought you are a teenager or you started your work. You started your career. But now I got to know you're a mother of two kids. Yeah, nice, Mataji. Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Megha. Very, very wonderful class. And whatever you give me the importance, but this is not from me, but only Radha Shyam Sundar's mercy and Srila Prabhupada's mercy you could do, and your Shiksha Gurus. So nothing from me, anything. Just your soul is like that. So nothing. It is very, very wonderful. And I am so grateful to you.
I'm blessed to be in your family, born in your family, Mom. Mama and
I'm waiting. I'm waiting to hear from your mom also, Mataji. I already said she signed up for one day. Please help her with everything what she needed, and she needs to present one day. We are waiting for her presentation.
Oh my God, Mataji.
We are so happy to have such a nice family with us. Mother and daughter combination. It's our great fortune on Bhakti
Sangha. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Bhakti Sangha. Bhakti Sangha
Japa Group. All devotees, Bhakti Sangha Japa Group.
Hare Krishna, Megha Mataji. What a beautiful class. I mean, the summary was fantastic. I like the way how you took down notes, each and every points, and took us through the story like that, and your realizations in between, and the final takeaway lessons. It was so moving and so wonderful, Mataji. I mean, like mom, like daughter, we are very, very fortunate to have both of your association. Very inspiring, and I learned a lot from your today's class. Your schedule is also, you know, literally putting me into shame, like how much you're doing in keeping up everything. So thank you so much. It's wonderful to hear from you. And your presentation was as beautiful as your background. So pleasing and so pleasant. Hari Bol. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hari Bol.
Dear devotees, anybody would like to share their realizations for today's chapter summary with Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Krishna Mataji here. I will introduce myself as Megha Mataji's sister. I joined this call first time just to hear her present. I do listen to some classes that are on YouTube every now and then. But again, I'm not consistent like my mom and my sister. In today's class, I want to say, growing up, I was always saying that my sister is my inspiration, and she's really proven it today. And I am so glad that she has presented this in such a nice way that I was able to follow. And I just pray that she can follow her dreams, and Krishna helps her in whatever she is desiring.
Krishna frame. Hari Bol. Thank you, Krishna.
Jai. Very nice to have whole family in this group, Mataji. Very nice.
Hari Bol.
Okay, Mataji. So if there are no more realizations, so with Mataji's permission and with all the devotees' permission, I would like to pay my obeisances. So once again, Megha Mataji, thank you so much for coming on the call and giving your precious association. So we would like to have your association feature also, Mataji. So with this note, I would like to pay my obeisances. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya krupatarubhyasya patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo ananta koti vaishnavrutti ramachari shri haridas swami jai jai and grace megha mata ji ki jai
jai.
Thank you so much.
Hare
Krishna. Thank you so
much. Hare Krishna.
Okay, closing the call, dear devotees. Hare Krishna Kovariki Mataji. Hari Bol. Mataji is also there. I just took the course. I'm closing Mataji. Hari Bol.